Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are it. You are the one. You are the soon and coming King. You're the glorious Savior. You are everything. You are our magnificent obsession, Lord. And we bless you this day, and we come into your presence delighted, Lord, to be able to say that we're your friends and not your enemies.
Yes.
God, that you actually know us, God. Thank you, God. What a great relief. We bless you, we honor you, we exalt you. We would ask you, God, that you would pour your spirit out this very morning, God. I believe you are, you will, God. Just from what's been going on already here today, God, thank you. And so we ask you to open your word to us again like a flower, God, like a flower, God, that you would breathe upon your word, God, and we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, God, that we could prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're continuing. This was the intent. Okay, continuing in our study of the book of Peter, and we are in a great way, but there's things happening on earth right now that have to be addressed. And so, and I'll even get into the whys they have to be addressed, but it's clear by what is happening on earth that we would be like the hypocrites if we just made believe it was status quo, we got a plan, we have an agenda, we have a teaching, we have a this. That is not living in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so I guarantee you we will spend only a teeny weeny bit of time in Peter, but we've already talking about being lights in the world, being ready to give our testimony. It's all now. The scriptures consistently remain fresh. So they are fresh now, and God is doing a fresh work right now, and he's inviting us into it, but he's also requiring that of us. So I actually believe what we're going to see is what looks like not fresh work, and not fresh word being identified. I actually read a story this week about someone who was eating leftovers and got septic or sepsis and lost their legs eating leftovers.
They were too old.
They were too old. And boy, talk about a spiritual reality here. And then you think that our Savior gets born in Bethlehem, which is House of Bread. So this whole story is about House of Bread. This whole story is us being moved, not without preparation and not simply like, you know, whatever, what happens, happens. So with preparation, with the foundation of what he's called us into, being able to flex and move with them as he calls us into that place. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So I've circumcised the notes at the bottom of this. So the 1 Peter 3 notes, which we're going to be today, will probably be next time we meet, unless the Lord has another plan. And, you know, I've said this for 40 some odd years of teaching, that all we want to do is be found in him. So we're going to do that, okay? So the notes that we will cover eventually have to do with some very mysterious scriptures that are not necessarily controversial, but have a lot of opinions around them as far as where did Jesus go when he was in the grave, and the 3 days and the resurrection of the dead. And those things are critical too when we're in life and death times. So the whole book is pertinent all the time. Okay, so 2 days ago, Russia invaded Ukraine. It's interesting too because actually, within the last couple of years, I've led someone, a Ukrainian, to the Lord who's reading his Ukrainian Bible. And on his Facebook page, it's all Ukrainian names. And so I've been trying to he's in Toronto. But it's interesting because I'm tied in just personally to this guy. But 2 days ago, they invaded the Ukraine. The Russians invaded the Ukraine. And there's a lot happening on earth. I am completely not surprised. I've been writing about it for really the last 15, maybe actually more than 20 years now. I wrote something 2018 saying I wouldn't be surprised if 2020 was a trigger year because of the coordination of timings of our 400-year 1620 Mayflower Covenant and the 2020 anniversary. And of course, we all know about 2020. In fact, some people comically said, we hope that 2022 does not mean 2020 T-O-O. Meaning another 2020, but the reality is every year is going to be its own. Every year is going to be its own. And so I'm not saying it as a bearer of bad tidings, I'm saying it as a bearer of good tidings, that these are the purposes that God has called us for in these days, not so we brace ourselves, but like I wrote earlier this week, that we look up because our redemption draws near. So these are the days he's called us to. And I don't know if you guys remember the movie Manchurian Candidate? It was not a good movie, it was a tough movie, but these people were embedded, and when they got a phone call, they were ignited. And I believe the Lord has set us up as Manchurian candidates here to terrorize a world of darkness. So these are actually good days for us. So one of the things is that for us to ignore this and just say, "Oh, we're gonna not stray off our teaching of Peter." This is what Jesus said to the religious people of his own day who knew the scriptures. Matthew 16, verse 1, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites," which basically means actor in Greek, "you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed." So there's a jeopardy in being full of biblical knowledge or biblical history or world history or whatever you want to call it, and being aware of what's happening and missing what God's doing. We don't want to go there. We definitely don't want to go there. Well, Thursday I wrote a short blog, and if you're on the chain, you got that. It's a good one to read. It's short and it's good, and I was amazed. I'm happy that it was good. I was amazed I was able to write something short. But it's good. But it has to do with dismay, and that God knowing in advance that there would be things happening on earth that would dismay people. But then we're also told in the book of Jeremiah who would be dismayed, and it's not the people of God. We're not called to be. It doesn't mean we don't have concerns. It doesn't mean we're not aware. It doesn't mean we walk in some blissful ignorance. But there's an awareness of who wins, how he wins, the part we play at the conclusion of the age, and that we draw closer to him in these times now more than ever, so that we could be the people filled with the Spirit of God to move in the signs and wonders that are also promised. All we're hearing, typically, no matter what your news source is, typically what we're hearing is the bad news. Whether you hear it from a political viewpoint or a side of the aisle that you might agree with or not, it's still bad news. But that's scriptural. But the good news is in the Word of God, which is why Satan spends so much time either trying to counterfeit it or dilute it or convince prophets and pastors and teachers to preach half of it. And what they're doing is they're literally trying to dismantle something that refuses to be dismantled. Which is why come Isaiah 66, the Lord says, "The one I'm going to look at is the one who trembles at the word. I'm going to have my eye on the one who is trembling at the word, who's consumed it and recognizes it, and we don't try to treat it like, we treat it like a cup as opposed to a buffet." So I don't want to miss what's occurring right now, and this is on our watch, and we're here for these days, okay? And this is why the saints are here. It's why I'm convinced, along with scripturally, that we're not delivered from trouble ever, but we're delivered from the wrath to come. Mm-hmm. We're clearly delivered from the wrath. The wrath that he's speaking of here is the wrath of God. Our price was paid. So remember this, and this is important because God is always dealing with everyone. He's never not dealing with you. Whether you're a minister or a new convert, or you're a sinner who doesn't know God, but you're listening in on a podcast, God is never not dealing with everyone. He's amazingly thorough. He's notably thorough. And so because of that, he's calling us into a place of a sensitivity in these days, not so that we're equipped to minister to others. He calls us so we're at a place of success in our own lives, that we start realizing, wait a minute, humility works. Being filled with the Spirit works. Learning to hear and comply the first time works. Taking a Psalm 32 promise of eye contact direction as opposed to bit and bridle is the higher calling. And we start, and he's trying to teach us to be more obedient and walk in more freedom at the same time. It's not just lockstep, okay? So planned teachings are great. And then I say here, unless the Lord breaks in with a message from, you know, we interrupt this broadcast for a message from our sponsor. And our sponsor happens to be the Savior. And it's funny because I was actually doing a micro Bible study at church while someone was speaking about something, had a word. And there's several different words for break in and breakthrough and break down. One of them has to do with Baal Perazim, the valley that David named a master or lord of multiple break-ins. And then there's a word breaking like mallet, which is where the word the Judas Maccabees name comes from. And that has to do with a destruction of the unholy so that the holy could be restored. So there's things that God will break into our lives and shatter, and there's things where he's just going to come in as Jehovah, the interrupter. And so he is interrupting us these days. So we would do well to just, not to manufacture that kind of stuff, but to be sensitive to when God breaks in. Okay? So, all right. So we're called to be transformed, and I believe God will be faithful this morning. We're called critically into the timing of God to understand that. And those verses, which I won't get into right now, is 1 Chronicles 12:32 and 1 Chronicles 12:23. They're in your notes now. It has to do with David in Hebron. God's assembling an army of anointed people to take over a demonized kingdom, if you will, Saul's reign. And God is anointing people, and many of the anointings are military. But the tribe of Issachar had the anointing to know what to do. Every anointing in Christ, every anointing of heaven is available to us in Christ. He's the fullness, he's the completeness. And this is something I really believe we're called into in these days. So it's right time, right place, coordinated incidences, sitting next to the right person on an airplane, having a Zoom interview, whatever is happening in your life, that you are in the place of being in the Spirit. We're not just getting our prayer in, we're not just finishing a Bible study and then moving on to another section of our life. That is not Hebraic. It's just not Hebraic. That whole compartmentalized, putting on this hat, putting on my ministry, now going home to family, now running a business, and as if you're like, you know, fractured flickers, that's not it. He's called us to be a chad. He's called us to literally be a fatal case of Jesus on the brain. A fatal case. A case of Jesus on the brain that kills everything in you that wants to rage against him, okay? So, oh, look, I have formula with the R at the end. Formula. The formula R for success, it must have been a New Yorker. It would have been F-O-R-M-U-L-U-H had it been New York. It would have been formula for success. Okay, so I'll have to send the notes out again to you guys because this stuff torments me. Okay, so, sorry. Ephesians, Paul gives us a formula for success. And he says, the whole chapter's great, of course, and I have a therefore here, and we don't know what it's there for because we didn't read the above verses. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So you play a part in that, and he plays a part in it. So when you say, God, wake us up, you're actually sort of trying to do a role reversal. He says, you wake up. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, those days being evil, don't be a fool, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the Issachar anointing. Yeah. And do not be drunk with wine, which is, quite frankly, something that is wonderful, that God's given us to enjoy. But in these days, sometimes you think, man, I could use a bottle or four. Because we're living in tough seasons. He's saying, don't be drunk with wine. This is important for us to remember that, you know, and in fact, the scripture even talks about being filled with the Spirit. So there's a buzz. There is an exhilaration in Christ that we're not going to get out of anything. But he's saying, don't be drunk with wine, which is waste, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the alternative. And then he tells you both how to do that, an atmosphere conducive to that, but it's also the fruit of being filled. So it sort of goes around, comes around, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Okay, so I see always and all things in here. To God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. pretty weighty. We could spend a month on that, really, but we won't. The reality is, though, is when everything is happening on Earth right now, like when something horrible happens, I don't go, oh, thank you, God, I'm so glad I fell and broke my arm. But at the same time, I'm so glad you're with me, God, in me falling and breaking my arm, because there's an adventure now in this. So we have to stop looking at the negative as what's driving our lives. Mm-hmm. We have to stop doing that. It's actually, it's more than a distraction. It's actually a lack of faith. And I'm not a Pollyanna kind of, Robin's more Pollyanna than me. I'm more, you know, grunt and groan. But the reality, right? So, there she is. Okay, but the reality is that we're to be understanding that what is happening now is not because there's no God. What's happening now is because there is a God.
Amen.
He told us this would happen. Mm-hmm. If we choose to remain ignorant of these things or unaware or unresponsive, that's our issue. But the word will overtake us. Either the blessing will overtake us or the trouble, depending upon, you know, once again, life is hard, and it's harder when you're stupid. It's harder when you're ignorant. It's harder when you're religious. It's harder when you refuse to hear what's being spoken. Mm-hmm. So he is calling us to this place of attention, okay? So we so as far as the sensitivity goes, we don't want to overstep our position as people of God in over-spiritualizing every news event, but we don't want to overstep the boundaries of what the Lord would have us to say. Because there might be things that he reveals to you that you don't say. So part of wisdom, like Ecclesiastes 3, which is also all about time for every purpose under heaven, is when to keep your mouth shut, even if you know something. So that has to do, again, that's another marker of us having spent time with Jesus. I love it on The Chosen when those kids ask him the questions while he's camping out, you know, building little wooden locks. And they were asking him questions, which were good questions, but it wasn't time to answer them, so he didn't answer them. There's wisdom in you don't have to say everything to everybody all the time. But we're called to intentionally be people in the Spirit, in him, and in prayer, so that we don't miss what's happening in these Haggai 2, 6, and 7 shaking days. When he says, I'll draw men to the hemda, to the desire of the nations, he's saying, I'm going to draw the saints in deeper, and I'm going to draw the sinner into salvation, and he's going to do that by lights being in the world, which means you. Mm-hmm. And if you think it's just for the preacher, read Ezekiel 3 and 33 and come back and we could talk about it. I think we have a massive accountability that for the most part we don't want to address, myself included. I mean, I love it. I love seeing souls saved. I chase people down. I can get really obnoxious that way. But I'm just saying that there are times in my life I have a too busy mentality. I don't want to go there. Okay, I really don't. All right? So we dare not miss what's going on right now as Spirit-led people. And we, many times, we have to be the, and I hate using the metaphor canary in the coal mine, because they put a canary in a coal mine, so when the oxygen levels went down, the canary would die before the people died. So it's not, this is not an issue of death, but it's sort of it's a sensitive living thing that responds quicker to other less sensitive living things. We're supposed to be the canaries on earth, not dying, maybe dying to self if you want, but the reality is we should be the weather vanes. Mm-hmm. That should be you. You should be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Not ashamed of someone, when you're sitting there and people are playing whack-a-mole with a supply chain and COVID and governments and the Canadian border and all this stuff, and all they want to do is talk about the price of gasoline and I can't buy ammo anymore or whatever it looks like in their life, that we could sit there and wave the Jesus flag. And if it's in their face, that's the whole point. The idea of signs and sounds is attention getting. The story of these days are trumpets, it's a clarion call of God to the earth for repentance. That's why we're here. So last night, my Jewish cousin emails a bunch of Jewish people, and first he apologizes for emailing on the Sabbath, and then he's requesting financial support there's a massive Jewish population in the Ukraine. So it's interesting in a way, because I've been preaching to him since I got saved. Like, he knew me in my drug years, 48 years ago, 49 years ago. And all these years, we've been dealing with him. I prayed with his daddy on his deathbed. I flew back east, prayed with him, and He went home to be with his newfound savior within 24 hours. I'm just saying that this man has been dealt with, and now he's, you know, so the conditions on earth are getting my cousin's attention.
Yeah.
People are being woken up by a savior who prioritizes salvation and your eternal state over comfort, health, healing, welfare, success, peace on earth. So it's working. What God said he would do in Haggai 2, 6, and 7 is happening on our shift. We don't want to miss the opportunity. Okay, so we are being, I'm skipping down here, but anyway, this is why we're here. I mean, we are here right now for this. This is, oh God, pour out your spirit. Oh God, pour out your spirit. Oh God, pour out. How many times have we all heard that? And now he's pouring out his spirit, but it doesn't look like what we want. We want a party.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to pour it all out. Yeah. The whole thing, it's the whole enchilada. Eat the whole scroll, says God to the prophets. Eat the whole scroll. So we're being called, we're being pushed, taught, like I've used the word lamad in the past, the goad teaching. We're being uncomfortably pushed forward sometimes into the purposes of God, but it's good, even though it's not comfortable. Where people are dreaming. We were talking last night and someone's getting lit up with dreams, and I know a lot of people are, and I write my dreams down, and I have a dream log. I keep them. In fact, I wrote, so I'm going to read you something from this morning, but it's dreams plus, but I'm going to read you the plus this morning. But there's where to be looking at what's going on with the lens of understanding, and the best way to do it is have the word in us, consuming us, okay? And this is funny. Someone, a prophet years ago, had this vision of this train running on two rails. One was spirit and one was word. And I was actually talking about to myself this morning as I prepared about the idea of training, God's training in a life. And I went from that to woo kind of trains. And I thought, trains are on track and they're on time. And not just on track. And they're not just on time. They're on track and they're on time. And this is what God has called us to be literally a precision unit right now. And much of the controversy or fractures or conversational or even theological or eschatological disagreements have to do with the fact that most of us are not on track or on time. And so I'm just saying it, this is why we do what we're doing here, okay? So speaking of tracks, I saw a picture this morning of the subway stations being in Kiev, Ukraine, being used as bomb shelters. There was a video on the internet of a car driving down the street, and in the opposite direction, a Russian tank is coming, and purposely veered and drove over that car, crushed it to bits. There were people in it. They were driving. It wasn't parked. There's unbelievable horror happening right now on Earth in these days, okay? So meanwhile, we're sitting here and we're distressed. I mean, we're thinking things like gas price, real estate price, will I lose my job? Do kids really need more toys and games? What's happening? And food shortage? We're already seeing things. If the grid went down, we might not have water in our houses because everything's computerized. We might have gas that won't pump because there's no, I don't want to sit here and be a fear monger. I'm simply saying we're sitting here now thinking, is there something I need to do? Because by nature, we're wired to survive. We're living creatures and God's wired us to live. We're not on that continent. And this isn't quite here quite yet. But we don't know what the future holds. We know what holds the future, but we don't know what the future holds exactly, specifically the whens and the wheres, okay? So I'm going to read a little bit of 1 Peter here. Okay, here we go. And this is, I'm going backwards to where we were, and then we'll go down from here. Let's see, I want to make sure I got where I am here. Yes, good, okay. I was putting this together this morning. Okay, this is 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, which is hilarious because Peter wrote more chapters, so he really wasn't a finally. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Picture of being a saint in the Ukraine, reading this right now. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil. or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. That is an eternal promise, not necessarily a natural promise, by the way. Yeah. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So you hold that back. Now, this is not a promise that if you're a good little boy or good little girl, that everything's going to go smoothly on earth. It's not what it says. There's an eternal perspective that we're called into, always, at all times. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And then he goes on and he says, and who is he who will return harm, who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But he doesn't say no one will harm you. He's just identifying the kind of people who would do that, the wicked. Mm-hmm. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. And here it is. This is critical for us now, saints everywhere. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, always and at all times, I add, with meekness and fear. That's crazy. Picture the circumstance here. And we've spoken of it in the past about how many Christians were in the death camps preaching to the Jews. The Jews were crying out, Psalm 22, why have you forsaken me? And there's praying saints in the chambers with the Jews, leading them to their Jewish Messiah. So how this thing plays out doesn't look naturally the way I prefer to play out, but I didn't write the book, nor did you. But the book will overtake us. Now, we're called to be lights, going into Isaiah 60. As darkness covers the earth, it tells us to rise and shine at the same moment. So he's not saying hunker down or disappear or I will take you out as the darkness covers the earth. It's contrary to scripture. But he's saying we're to be lights in that place. Okay? Having a good conscience that not if but when, so don't melt, they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your not bad conduct, but your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, and it has been many times in the past, for our beloved brethren, who we love no less than he loves you, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So here we sit. Here we sit. So, this morning, okay. So I woke up and, you know, I was up early. I get up early anyway, but Saturday mornings you get up earlier. And this AM, this is what I write, 2:26:22. Russia is at war with Ukraine. 2:24:22 was the official invasion day, even although, quite frankly, they've been fighting each other for thousands of years. And in theory, this war began in 2014. It's just escalated to a boiling point right now. Mm-hmm. And there's so many backstories you don't even want to know. The guy who's the president of Zelensky of the Ukraine is a piece of work. He's a Jewish guy who was a foul comedian 4 or 5 years ago, and he won with a landslide. I mean, you don't need it. I'm not going there. You can go there on your own if you want. I'm just saying the whole thing's crazy. It's like you couldn't write this story.
Right.
You could not write this story, except God knows this story. Okay. So it's right now when one nation is getting attacked by another nation, I know who's getting attacked, and I know who the attacker is, and you sort of think, well, I know who to pray for. I'll pray for the Ukrainian people. I'll pray for the Jewish people. I'll pray for the Christians. I'll pray for the unsaved in the Ukraine. But at the same time this morning, I felt led to be praying in tongues a lot, praying in the Spirit. And as I'm praying, I'm feeling the room is filling with the presence of God this morning. And I'm thinking about Romans 8. And I'm thinking, because I don't really know how to pray as I go to pray. I'm not ignorant of this, but I don't really know. But I want an alignment. When they said, teach us how to pray, he says, pray your will be done. So our will is no war on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Okay, the angels said that, saying, here's how it's going to eventually come out, because this baby was born in a food trough. But he wasn't just saying it's going to be smooth sailing since the baby gets born in a food trough. History confirms that one. So here we are. I'm praying this morning, and I'm feeling God. And here's, and I'm going back to Romans 8, verse 25. But we, if we hope for what we do not see, which we're not seeing right now, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we hang on and we persevere. We don't melt. We don't give up. We don't lose heart. We don't get dismayed. We don't allow despondency to overwhelm us to the place of panic and compromise and everything else. No matter what, it costs you to be holy. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and we're not going to draw a little chart on Holy Spirit and the Trinity, but they're one and the same. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to pray. I wish they just put those words in, it would have been easier. But it says we don't know how to pray. We don't have words. Words are extremely limiting. If you look at a little bit of Hebrew and you look at English and you just see the limits of the English language compared to Hebrew even. But any language of man is incapable of presenting the fullness of God. So Jesus said, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because when I give you my spirit, you can have my mind. Mm-hmm. And we're in complete sync. We're synchronized with the Creator. Okay? So I'm praying in the Spirit. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But, however, the Spirit himself, not itself, makes intercession for us with sounds, with groanings, which cannot be uttered. They don't really fit in the whole word picture thing. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, what the intent is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That is synced up. That's the synchronizing that God's calling us into in these days. And I was talking to an Uber driver once, and she was looking for a church, telling us the qualifications for what she wants and what she's uncomfortable with. And I said, you sound like you know your Bible pretty well. I said, do you know where it says having done all to stand? She says, oh, yes. I said, good. I said, do you realize, you know what all means? I said, when we're in like easy peasy days, all is like really an option. In the tough days, that scriptures are saying, if you're not doing all, you might not stand. So God is calling us to this place of saying, God, burn in us in these days. The bride is going to be compatible with the groom. We're not there yet. We're going to get there. But we're not there yet. But we will get there. But get there first. Run ahead of your friends and they'll catch up and they'll get ahead of you and you run ahead of them. It's not a foot race, but at the same time, we're all in this thing. Okay? So, your will be done on earth, isn't always. And we know the word tells us that about the conclusion of this age, that it's tough. It's tough. It's not an easy conclusion, and it's more than a wedding. As popular as a wedding is, it's way more than a wedding. I'm going to read, I gave you some verses in notes. You have Ezekiel 36 through 39, Zechariah 12 through 14, Matthew 24, and the companion verses. You can read Thessalonians, you can read 2 Peter, you can read Daniel 11 and 12, you can read Isaiah 14, 24. Warrior God, Adonai Tzivaot, okay? Yahweh Tzivaot, King of the Universe, Commander of the Armies of Heaven. Your translation might say, Lord God Almighty. The Lord of Hosts has sworn. So he's taken he's got his hand on a Bible. He has sworn, saying, surely as I thought, so it shall come to pass. As I have purposed, so it shall stand. That I will break, and here's one of his nicknames for the Satanic Empire. I will break the Assyrian. Where? In Assyria? No, in my land. I will call him in Israel. On my mountains, tread him underfoot. At that time, not prior, then his yoke shall be removed from them and his burden removed from their shoulders. You go, whoa, that's pretty weighty. That sounds like a Gog story to me. Then he says, I'm not just talking about what's going to happen in Israel. He says, let me broaden this perspective. This is the purpose that's purposed against Kol Eretz. The whole earth, because I'm going to involve every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all the nations that are going to be against Israel. We're getting there, folks, in case you're unaware, we are getting there. This is the hand that is stretched out, in case you didn't hear it the first time, whole earth, all nations. For the Lord of hosts, the warrior, has this is his purpose. He's already told us that twice. And then he puts forth a challenge to the one who's reading this. Because the world thinks they're going to re-elect Hillary and we'll drive hybrids and everything will be fine. It's not going to work that way. This is God's purpose. And so he's saying to the ones who will read this, you think you're going to preach this away? Teach it? Sing it?
Pray it?
Prophesy it? Pray it? They've been trying to do that. Read Jeremiah 1 through 9. See how the prophets... Read Jeremiah 14. See how it goes for the prophets who prophesy the stuff that people want to hear. Or we have the word of God. For the Lord of hosts' is purpose, and who will annul it? He's challenging us right here. His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? So that much we know, okay? So this morning. So I'm praying and preparing, and I'm thinking about Isaiah 61, which you prayed over me, by the way, the day we met, the weekend we met. Thank you. Okay, so.
Elijah just showed up.
Yeah, Eliyahu Hanavi. or just close the door. Okay. All right, so. I'm thinking I need to read Isaiah 61. It's clear to me. It's clear as a bell to read it. So I opened up my iPad, and I've been praying for, I've been up for an hour and a half or something like that. And the first screen that shows up on my iPad is, it's 6:13 in the morning.
Wow.
6:13 also happens to be the number of knots on the hem of the rabbi's tallit. I had been involved in a business issue with an extremely secular company a few years ago, and they had held on to one of our products for 613 days, and I had been praying about this. And when I'm in business, I'm very vocal about my faith. And I said, you know what, guys, you broke the law. You broke the law. And this whole thing got resolved. My attorney said it was a miracle. So anyway, so God used 6:13s in my life before. Okay, so I'm looking at the time, and it's 6:13. And it's, I open my Bible, my electronic Bible here, to read Isaiah 61. We will get to Isaiah 61, verse 3 in a minute. And I believe this is not just for Jesus. I believe it's for us. I believe it's a declaration of faith. I believe it's a cry out. I believe it should be a hunger. I believe it should be a desire of our hearts. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, not as a promotion or an award for what you've done in the past, but there's a purpose why the Spirit comes. We always want, oh God, more of your Spirit, more of your Spirit, more, like we're collecting. He's is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Several things. We're going to break this down. We'll read it. We're going to live here this morning. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's why the Spirit of the Lord comes upon his people. There's more, of course. It's not, otherwise we'd have two verses, three verses, we'd be good to go. We have a book with 1,000 pages. Okay, so whosoever will, I believe it's for us, whoever wants to press into this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, you, me, whoever, because he has anointed us for purpose. Not to quietly sit, not to put a bushel over a lamp, to preach good tidings to the poor And that poor is not simply the financially needy, although they're clearly included in that. And social justice is a massive theme, but we don't worship at that altar either, because we've seen how bad that can get. The reality is we're citizens of heaven, and that's our allegiance. It's not whether I'm a Jew. It's not whether you're from another country. It's not skin color. It's not size, weight, marital status. It has nothing to do with nothing other than the fact that we're called to be serving the Creator of the universe. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Are you in prison from sin? Are you in prison for crime? Are you in prison whatever? Are you in a prison of your mind? We're here to proclaim that there's freedom in Christ. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. You could read Psalm 107. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the anointing of timing of God. Now we know the acceptable, when it says to now is a day of salvation, that's not a trick answer. It's saying if you could hear it, now is a day of salvation. Mm-hmm. So you don't put it off. But the acceptable day of year of the Lord is what is God doing now? Jesus knew it was time to launch then. He was good to his mama and made the wine at the wedding. But he knew here when he spoke these words at the temple in his town, he goes, ignition. Houston, we have ignition. Right now, we're living in ignition days, guys. We're called to that. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and not to be overlooked or annulled or whitewashed or backburnered the day of vengeance of our God. That is part of our hope. That is part of our hope, the day of vengeance. That's part of the story that God's established. We're called to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God, along with all this, with the freedom. There's no freedom in sin. We sometimes we want to declare freedom for people, and they would do better repenting. To comfort all who mourn. And here we are at 6:13 in the morning, I'm reading 61:3. And I'm thinking about my cousin writing me about the Jews in the Ukraine, even specifically the Jewish people, but everyone. But it says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. So there is ashes, there is ruin, there is sorrow, there is grief. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, because there is heaviness. But there's counter actions for this that we're not to ignore. That's what we're to give them. We're not just to lighten their load, but there's a formula for success that we're called to represent to them. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, purpose that they may be called trees of, they might come into this fellowship. This is that asking us of the hope that's in us, and us not panicking with them, even though we want to console and we want to agree and we want to be able to discuss what's going on earth, we're not to be affected or impacted like the world that doesn't know. We do know that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So that's our calling in these days. So I want to go back to Luke, okay? I'm actually reading Isaiah going forward to Luke, if you want to get biblically chronological. But here's Jesus, and he's in Nazareth. And listen to what Jesus does. This is good for us. Now remember, we're learning more than simply Peter, more than simply Russia invading Ukraine. We're trying to learn to read our Bibles and understand what's happening and why it's set a certain way, so that there's a liberty that Jesus, the Son of God, takes with these verses, that I'm not saying we're the Son of God. I'm simply saying there are times for purpose. And we have to be prayerful that we don't sit here and try to construct a gospel that fits our circumstance. But there are times when things happen in Scripture that are very notable. This is one of them. Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Remember what he said about prophets not being without honor except in their own place? They're probably going, oh, it's a carpenter's son. Oh, it's the kid who built my bookcase. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. It's interesting. I wonder if they opened it to that place.
If it was that reading for that
or
time.
They handed him the scroll of Isaiah and he opened it. Yeah, and he opened it to hear because it was time for this scripture to explode, open. He found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Can you imagine standing there in that synagogue that day? Ooh. Whoa, baby. Man, it's a little different here than it was last Saturday when Moshe was speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim, remember, they're under siege by the Romans, who crucified people left and right. There was like blood flowing in the streets. Dogs would eat half-dead people. People saw horrible things all the time. It was a horrible place. They had compromised serving God for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And Egypt would go through Israel to fight the Assyrians, and the Assyrians would go through Israel to fight the Egyptians. And on their way in and out, they'd rape, steal, loot, destroy, break down. And Israel couldn't get a hint that it was because they were out of sorts with their one and only true God. So they were in a lot of trouble here. And he says to them, "To preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he stops. Think, oh, you can't do that. And then he looks at you and says, "Excuse me, I am the Word of God. I'm not just reading it, but I am the Word of God." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The attendant probably fainted. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on the Jewish Savior. And he's sitting down, it sounds like he's going, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Yeah. Now, we know Jesus told us in Matthew 5, but elsewhere in scripture, that everything that has yet to be fulfilled will be fully filled to the smallest punctuation mark, jots and tittles. The scriptures never tell us, and if you've studied even any of my teachings, Daniel or Isaiah, there's many times when God will partially fulfill and then fully fulfill later. And so there's nothing in scripture that says because something was fulfilled, it can't be fulfilled again unless we're told it won't be fulfilled again. There's certain things there where we could totally check those off, saying done. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So these scriptures, I fully believe, remain lit up, illuminated, waiting for a people who will embrace them. I believe it's now. Okay. So unless it told that it won't happen again. Now this is again learning how to read our Bibles and understand and pressing in. Like a lot of people like to take Matthew 24 and package it as a 70 AD fulfillment, but it wasn't. It wasn't for many things, including that magical word euthios in Aramaic or Greek that says immediately. And the immediateness of the signs of heaven, the troubling and tribulation on earth, the immediately was the Savior coming through the sky. At last report, Jesus did not come through the sky in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, nor were the people of God delivered in those days. So these scriptures are still lit up waiting, the ones that people want to wrap in there. So I'm just saying that as a bunny trail to this bunny trail to tell you that that scripture was fulfilled at the activation in the temple, right there. It's going to get fulfilled again. Jesus stopped short of declaring a critical component. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord is where he stopped. And then he said, he did not say, the day of vengeance of our God. You know what that means?
That's later.
It means stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to miss it. Doesn't matter if your church doesn't want to speak about it. They will eventually.
Hopefully.
Also upon his return will be this fulfillment, okay? Although there's comfort in Christ, because we have a comforter, okay? We will not necessarily be comfortable, but we have a comforter who we're called into. And he says, and here's 6:61-3 at 6:13. And I believe this is a call to the church in these days of dismay. That we're not just warning every man, although clearly I fully contend we're called to be doing that, but we're to consoling people these days. We should be offering hope to a broken world. It's not in a bottle. It's not in a new wife. It's not in moving. It's not in a new career. It's not in a new car. I love these commercials where they show you something and they say you deserve it. Can you imagine if someone showed fires of hell and said, hey, you deserve this. You've invested your whole life. Look what's waiting for you. We don't deserve anything. And this is the grace and gift of God, that he wants people to be comforted by the Spirit-filled saints who can speak this word in love. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called, that they might come into this fold. God is trying to populate eternity. We have no clue, and we're going to be talking a little bit when we finally get back to Peter about where did Jesus go, and was he preaching or proclaiming? Was it a gospel of salvation that he spoke to the dead? Peter talks about an ark being prepared. It's obviously Noah. Some people think it's a salvation after death opportunity. It's a whole program. We'll get into some of it, and I'm not going to draw some conclusions for you. I will some others. I'm simply saying the eternal component of what we are called into already as saints has to be magnified in our lives in these days. Otherwise, we're going to compromise. It has to be magnified. We have to understand what God has called us into. This is not a 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90-year gospel. In many ways, the fullness of salvation is realized after our last breath. And it has to shift our priorities, because compromise oftentimes comes from the panic of survival and the panic of maintaining at least the status quo, okay? So we're called to be the lit up ones. So when Peter talks about suffering for righteousness and called to be lights and testimonies of the toughest times, here we are. We're here. We didn't bring it on ourselves. We didn't preach this into being, but we're here. And what do we do with it, okay? And remember, Isaiah 60, the chapter right before 61, talks about, behold, darkness will cover the earth, and we're told to rise and shine. It all fits. It's a great read. If you want to read Isaiah 60 through 66, it's the last six chapters of Isaiah. Spectacular stuff. Most of it yet to be fulfilled. So now, let's consider Isaiah 61 in full context with a bit of our timing lens, that some has to occur, some did occur, but will occur again. We're not going to have Jesus, the Savior, showing up in a temple someplace and then sitting down and yelling from, you know, row 8, seat 4, like he might have done. I'm simply saying, let's read this now as the good news of salvation. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. It's upon us right now. Like the Spirit of the Lord's in the room right now. He's here. Mm-hmm. He's upon us for this purpose. Because he's anointed us to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me, us, to heal the brokenhearted. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, not seeking all the benefits of the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. He goes, I'll take care of the bennies. Mm-hmm. You do your job, I'll do my job. To preach good tidings to the poor, you sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. What's your job description? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What's happening now? The day of vengeance of our God. Stay tuned. Some we comfort, some we warn. Some we pull from the fires, some we hug and love and weep with, to console, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Our goal here is that God is glorified. That's your goal. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. To me, that sounds like war. That sounds like a destruction on earth, which I can thoroughly substantiate with multiple scriptures pointing to the conclusion of the age. It has to do with, you can read Ezekiel 39, 7 through 10, it's in your notes. It has to do with a 7-year cleanup after the return of Jesus when he's in the temple. Amos 9 is interesting. It's an extended prophecy. It includes some things yet to come. I'm going to read it to you now. Amos 9, verse 9, "For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. He'll know where each one is. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say what the false prophets always say. The calamity shall not overtake nor confront us." And they fill stadiums. On that day, in this season, at that time, which quite frankly isn't quite yet, but is happening on our watch, God will do a sovereign work in the area of prophetic worship. I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. It's failed. The tabernacle of worship has not done what it was supposed to do. It's a massive component at the conclusion of the age. We all know Isaiah 30 because I speak of it every week. Assyria comes down with tambourines. It has to do with sanctified, spirit-led, scripturally accurate, fear of the Lord, jumping crazy for joy, prophetic worship. I will raise up, I sovereignly, God, I will lift up the tabernacle. I will restore and raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I, obviously, the parenthetical there is mine, and repair its damages. I, not you, I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. What's the purpose? So that we can sell albums? That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles that are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing, in case you're wondering whether you do it. Because this is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in these days, that he will raise up worship and it will be anointed, and they will fear God, and they will sing what needs to be sung, and the lyrics will be biblically accurate, and they will tremble at the accountability and the fact of what the worshipers have been called into, and the presence will be thick in churches, and people will be brought to conviction for sin and will be healed when they raise their holy hands without wrath and doubting. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten there yet, but we're getting there. Mm-hmm. These are the days. Why we're here. This is why we're here. We're not called here to get a degree, to sell a tech patent, to get interviewed, to get married. Mm-hmm. We're not here for those things. They're good. They're all good. This is why we're here, so we could participate in this. Mm-hmm. Then he says, check it out. Don't miss it. Behold, the days are coming. Now, this is one of those scriptures everybody wants to plug into history, but you can't plug it in yet because it doesn't fit. The scriptures that talk about the plowman overtaking the reaper and the swords being turned into pruning instruments, but then they go back and forth. Then you read another one and it sounds backwards. But here he's saying that these days will come. They will come after our Lord has come. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. It's going to be increase. So much glory, so much blessing. And the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, The mountains shall drip with sweet wine. There you go. And all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste places that have been ruined. It's not yet. They're still waiting to get ruined. And inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. Wow, wow, wow. Now let's go to Isaiah 61 again. They shall rebuild the old ruins. Does that make some sense? Mm-hmm. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall come, because the ground zero is going to be a temple with a resurrected, having returned in power with thunder through the clouds, Savior ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. And the nations, the surviving people, they're going to flock into this place. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, people of God, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named a priest of the Lord. Now you could wonder and say, is it just the Jews? There's a good argument that it is. But we're all called kings and priests in the New Testament. Peter was not writing simply to a Jewish audience. So I'll leave that one to you. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, the other nations, the ones that he, that word over the history of scriptural writing has been used for the bad guys or the redeemed saints who were just not of Jewish blood. So you just got to get over the word goyim, okay? You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. In their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, people of God, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. It won't be taken from them again. This has not happened yet. According to Matthew 5, stay tuned. Why will it happen? For I, the Lord, I love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. That is us. That's what God's calling us to. But we got to go through stuff to get there. Their descendants, okay, we did that. Our response, even now, understanding the story, understanding the promise, understanding the theme of our worship, understanding the call to consecration and holiness and full surrender as a safe place. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Here we are in Isaiah, looking at the marriage supper of the Lamb. For as the earth brings forth its bud, there you go, guys, this bud's for you. This bud's for you. This bud is for you. As the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, according to the creation plan, that man, try as he might, will not ruin. So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. That's our promise.
Amen.
In these
Amen.
Days. Amen. This is why we do what we do. Yay, God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We can read a book that was written thousands of years ago, and it's illuminated and lit up and speaks to our hearts and convicts us and encourages us, God, and revelates us as to why we're here, why we've been through what we've been through, what's upcoming, and that grace has brought us this safe, and grace will bring us home. And you are good and perfect, and your timing is right, that you are sufficient in all things. We bless you, God. And again, Lord, if something I said was the gospel according to me, that you delete it, and if it was a gospel according to thee, that it would lock into our spirits eternally today, that we would shift and move forward in you with a determination and a purpose, God, that in all things, God, we will not be discouraged, that we will stay laser locked on you, God. We bless you. We thank you. We lift up the people of the Ukraine. We lift up the Russians. We lift up, God, the innocent ones around the world. God, as wickedness is maturing to the level worthy of the judgment that's revealed in Scripture. God, as we see things increase, God, that we would increase, that we would be those people, God, that you would fuel us and you would fill us with the knowledge of your will, so that you might be glorified in us, God, in everything that we do. We ask you, God, Lord, as we unmute our microphones, God, we want to say that truly that magical word that says we're in complete agreement with the purposes of heaven for our lives, Lord. And we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.